large crowd gathered with people from one town after another journeying to Jesus, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed some seed along the path and was trampled, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and it grew. It withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced a fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." What'd you hear? What you got in the box? Okay, tell me about that. Oh, show everybody what it is. It's a picture of the choral group. Okay, his last days. All right. So tell me about that picture.
His last days helped me spread the word of God.
Okay. And the word of God is a seed, maybe? Then his disciples asked him what the meaning of this parable might be. He answered, "Knowledge of the mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted you, but not to the rest. They are made known through parables, so they may look and not see. They may hear, but not understand." That doesn't seem fair. Especially if we're trying to spread the kingdom. So Jesus is talking in stories, right? Hey, Zoe, you know a story? You know any stories? How about the story about Finding Nemo? You know that story? What happens in that story?
He gets lost, but he got found after that.
He got lost, and then he got found. Who was looking for him?
His dad.
And?
Dory.
His dad and Dory. Okay. And they had a lot of adventures, right? Is that the story? Is that the story? You did a good job, Joel. They said that was the story. So he was lost, and then he was found, and they had a hard time finding him, didn't they? And he was kind of captured, wasn't he? He was like in a fish tank in a dentist's office. Boy, I can't imagine anything more horrible than that. You have to live in your dentist's office, especially if you don't have any teeth. Jesus tells stories. What's Jesus' story? Sometimes we know the story of Finding Nemo better than we know the story of Jesus. Or even this story. The scary part is, sometimes we understand the story about Finding Nemo better than we do this. I mean, he was lost and then he was found. Well, that's pretty cool. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus taught in stories. When you write a story, what's important to have besides the story? Yeah, and a pencil or a keyboard, depending. But who's in charge of the idea? Okay? Yeah, that's a good one. But often when it comes to us, because each one of us Each one of us here has the pencil in our hand to write our story. Each one of you is writing a story. Now, when you were little, Zoe, did you know how to write? Are you learning now how to write? Can you write? Can you spell stuff? You could probably write a story right now. I know you can play music. That's kind of a story. But you could write a story. It's like Mary had a little lamb, a little sheep, a little ham. Isn't that how it goes? No. But we can write stories. But you got to learn how to spell. And you've kind of done that. And you guys have done that. You guys, you know, you're homeschooled. And you're probably your mom and dad. You know, they got you. You're writing stories or you're doing essays. You know, all of us have had to do that at some time or another. Some of us have had to write what they call thesis, master thesis, stories for school. But you're in charge of the pen. You're in charge of writing the story. Now, when we're younger, like you guys are, your parents and your grandparents help you write your story. But then as you get older, you take more command of the pen. For example, your big sister, Kelsey, is thinking about writing her story to be a doctor. Well, that's pretty cool. But what she's doing is she has a pen in her hand and she is beginning to write her own story. And that story might be different than her dad's or her mom's or her sister's or this sister. But she is writing her story. Some of us, when we read our stories, don't particularly like what we find, because they haven't turned out the way that we thought they would. It's like you get to the end of the book and all of a sudden it's different. And we may complain bitterly that we don't like it. We might even blame God. Why'd you write my story different than I would have had it? Well, God is a co-author with us. You know what a co-author is? What's a co-author? You and your sister decide to write a story. And you write the story together. So you have an idea, and you're saying, this is how the story should go. And she says, well, what if we did it this way? And you think about it, and you say, yeah, and you go back and forth, and you write the story, and you come up with a story. That's what being a co-author is. Who do you think the co-author of our story is?
Jesus.
Yeah, it's God. If we don't like the way our story has turned out, who's got the pen? I'd have a pen if I had a pocket. I don't have one right now. We got the pen. But there's another hand on that pen that's writing the story. How many people do you think it took to write the story of Finding Nemo? Probably more than one. It was probably a co-author. A couple people thinking of the story. It's a pretty cool story.
About eight.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think you're probably right. But when we look at the gospel, like here we have this gospel and we read it, the original person to tell this story was Jesus. And then St. Luke took an ink pen or a quill, like a feather with an ink on it, and he wrote the story down. And we're pretty sure that this is exactly one of the stories that Jesus did, because Jesus would tell stories. We had a story about the parable of the seeds. And the disciples asked him what it meant. This is what Jesus says in the story it means. This is the rest of the gospel. This is the meaning of the story. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones that have heard, but the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky grounds are the ones when they hear and receive the word with joy, but they have no roots and they believe only for a time and fall away in temptation. As for the seed that fell among the thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and the worries and the riches and the pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seeds that fell on rich soil, they are the ones, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and a good heart. So Jesus tells a story. His disciples say, "What the heck's that about?" And then Jesus tells what it means. You guys all have a story. And your parents and your grandparents are helping you learn that story. When you get older, like Kelsey, she's got the pen now. She's writing the story. But not by herself. God is helping her write the story. So as she prays and she says, "Lord, where do you want me to go in my life?" she listens very carefully, and the Lord helps her understand. Now, does she know where she's exactly going? Not for sure. She's got a general direction, and she's heading that way. Now, some of us, even some of us as old as Mr. Hall, that's pretty old, are still writing their stories. But all of us, no matter how old we are, we have the pen. But there's another hand on that pen that is helping us write the story. If your story didn't turn out the way that you thought it would or the way that you wanted it to, listen a little carefully. Listen a little more closely. You can still rewrite the final chapters of the book, of your book, no matter where you're at. But you need to commit your heart and your life to writing that story in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, with the guidance of a God who loves you more than anything else. And sometimes, we're like Nemo. We get lost. But you know what? Just like Nemo, we get found.